So let's turn to Ruth chapter 4. I'm going to preach from Ruth chapter 4, but I want to begin in Ruth chapter 3. And let's look at verse 12. Ruth 3, verse 12. Boaz said to Ruth, "Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." Now look at verse 18. Ruth 3:18. "Then said Naomi to Ruth, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Now Boaz is a picture of our Redeemer, the Redeemer of all God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ. God chose his people before the world began and gave them to Christ. And Christ entered a covenant to redeem us. And the redemption of his people has to do with the fact that the law had first claim on us. Because we fell in Adam. And so Christ agreed to come forth and redeem us from the law's curse. And he would not finish, he would not rest until he had finished that work. Christ our Redeemer. And it's a lawful redemption. On the cross, Christ honored the law and redeemed his people. And he did it before many witnesses so that we're lawfully Christ's bride. We're lawfully his bride. I want to show you the cross. I want to show you the change in ownership and the charge. Let's begin with the cross. Ruth 4, verse 1. "Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down." Now it says here, Boaz went up. He went up. We read in John 5:1 that the Lord Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He told Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Must be lifted up. And we read here that he went up to the gate. Look over at Deuteronomy 16. Back three books. Deuteronomy 16. The gate of the city was the public place that God chose to set forth judgment. That's what the gate of the city was. It was the place God chose to set forth judgment for his law to be honored. Look here in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 18. "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And then over in Deuteronomy 17 in verse 5, we find that when a sinner was found guilty, the gate was the place where they were executed. Says verse 5, "Then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which hath committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. The gate that we're looking at in Ruth 4 pictures the cross. It's a picture of the cross. The cross is the public place that God chose, the most public place God chose to satisfy His law and honor His law and redeem His people. A public place. The Lord, the Apostle Paul, speaking to King Agrippa, said, this thing wasn't done in a corner. You know these things. It wasn't done in a corner. And then when Boaz called this nearer kinsman and these 10 elders there, it's a picture of Christ who went to that cross with the sin of His people on Himself to submit Himself under the law of God, to be judged of God, to be judged of the law, to be stricken in our place in the room instead of His people, so that He might satisfy that law and honor that law and redeem His people. The law had first claim on us. We fell, we sinned, and the law had claim on us. The only way we could be saved is for Christ to come forth and redeem us. Christ must uphold God's law. That's why I said the Son of Man must be lifted up. He must uphold God's law. He must uphold it. That's the essence of the gospel, of our gospel, is this. How can God execute His elect who are guilty of sin? The wages of sin is death. How can God kill His elect justly who have sinned against God, and yet at the same time have mercy on those very same elect and give them eternal life? This is the riddle that you and I would have never solved if God left it to us. We'd have never come up with an answer to this question. But the way that He did it is, He hath made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That was the only way. That was the only way. And He did it to declare His righteousness. His righteousness. That's what our gospel's all about, is about Christ declaring the righteousness of God. He is that righteousness. And He declares the righteousness of God, how God can be just and the justifier. God said, there's no other God like me, a just God and a Savior. A just God and a Savior. So we see the cross. This is what transpired at the cross. Now, secondly, let's see the change. There was a change in ownership that took place here. Look here in verse 3. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem, then tell me, that I may know, for there's none to redeem besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem. The nearer kinsman said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Lest I mar my own inheritance, redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. This law of the nearer kinsman, saying the nearer kinsman had first right to Naomi and Ruth, this law and that nearer kinsman are a picture of the whole law of God. The whole law of God. In order for Naomi and Ruth to be lawfully redeemed, Boaz had to go and settle this matter. He had to settle this matter. Now you notice there, the law said, at first the law said, I will redeem it. When it came to buying that piece of land and taking that land from Naomi, he said, I will redeem it. I'll take it. The law is holy and just and good. Nothing wrong with the law of God, but because it is holy and just and good, and you and I are sinners, All the law can do is take from us. That's all it can do. If you think you have a righteousness that you've earned by the works of the law will take that righteousness. If we think that we've earned, brought forth some sort of fruits by our works under the law will take those fruits from us and declare us guilty. Paul said, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And that commandment that was unto life, I found to be unto death. The law takes from us. But then when Boaz said, now when you buy this land, you have to buy Ruth. This Gentile, this Moabitess, that's going to take great mercy and grace to buy a stranger like that. And not only that, her husband had died. And the law said you to raise up, you to marry the widow, the near kinsman's to marry that widow and raise up seed, raise up children, and put the name of the dead on that child so his name could continue. And whenever the nearer kinsman heard that he was going to have mercy on this Moabitess woman, and when he heard that he was going to have to give her life, put life within her, and put his name on that child, he said, I can't do it. I can't do it. All the law can do is take from us, but the law can't give us life. The law can't give us. Law can't have mercy on us. Law can't give us life. And law can't do any of that lest it mar itself. It's impossible. I had a young fellow in our congregation that had a wreck. And he was issued a citation because of this wreck. And he went to court to try to cast himself on the mercy of the court. And it didn't work. The judge wouldn't have mercy on him. And he was speaking to me about it. And I said, the law's not supposed to show you mercy. That's not the law's job. The law's job is to declare you guilty. That's what the law of God does. Declares us guilty. Declares us guilty. Now notice this. Notice this. Boaz redeemed Ruth to himself lawfully. And when he did that, a confirmed change took place. Look at verse 7. It says, now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. That was the custom. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. And so he drew off his shoe. Now if you go back and you look at Deuteronomy 10:25, if the near kinsman would not marry the bride, the widow, and raise up children to her, it was a shameful thing. The widow actually would go to the gate and she would draw off his shoe and she would spit in his face. And he was known from then on as the man who had his shoe loosed. That was a derogatory thing. That was a shameful, disgraceful thing. But you notice here in this text, Ruth doesn't even go to the gate. Boaz went there to represent her. She don't even go to the gate. And there's no shame. There's no spitting. The law took his shoe off and gave to Boaz. What do we see pictured here? Christ didn't come to dishonor the law. Christ came to fulfill it. He came to honor it. That's what he meant when he said to the Pharisees, not one jot or tittle shall pass from this law till all be fulfilled. I didn't come to do away with the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. That's what he came to do. Only he could do that. Only he could do that. And that's what he came to do. He didn't come to dishonor. The Lord, Scripture says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He shall magnify the law. He shall make it honorable. And that's what Christ did. He fulfilled it He magnified it. He made it honorable for his people. You remember when Moses stood before Christ in the burning bush? And the Lord said, "Take off your shoes, Moses." And Moses took his shoes off. Moses is a picture of the law. And he took his shoes off. And he's showing by that that the law was a servant to Christ. The law was our schoolmaster until Christ came. That's what he was for. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. For the scripture says, you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. When he's brought you to believe on Christ, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's the end of the law. And so that's what we see pictured here. I know there's no blood here, but it's a picture of that law being satisfied through Christ's blood. Now look at verse 13. Jump down to verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Now here's what we just read, clearly stated by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. This is what we're looking at in the picture here of what Boaz did for Ruth. This is what Christ did for his people. Verse 1, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, know ye not how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from the law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore," now here's what he's teaching, "wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Brethren, when we were in Christ, when all God's elect were in Christ, when Christ satisfied divine justice, we satisfied divine justice. When Christ died, we died. When Christ rose again, we rose again. And we are righteous. We are righteous by what Christ has done. There's a law that states this. It said if a man kills blood outside of the camp, and he does not bring that blood to the altar, God said, "Blood shall be imputed to that man, for he hath shed blood." Blood's not imputed to him to make him have shed blood. Blood's not imputed to him to make him to have shed the blood. He hath shed blood. He hath done it. That's how God imputes. That's how he imputes. All through the scriptures, that's how he imputes. In Romans 5, where we read there in Romans 5:12 that by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, and so, and if you read the margin, it says, in Adam, all died. In Adam, all died. When God imputed sin to us, he didn't do it to make us sin. He imputed sin to us because we really sinned in Adam. And the good news of that is, brethren, just as it was by one man's disobedience that many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. When God imputes righteousness to us, we're made righteous. It's because we're made righteous. I was looking up that word impute in my dictionary, and a Greek lexicon dictionary, and it said imputation in the scriptures deals with fact, not supposition. And it said, the example it gave I thought was a very good illustration. It said, if I have $10 in my wallet and I impute $10 to my wallet, I didn't put the $10 in my wallet by imputing it. I impute it to my, to my wallet if I have $10 in my wallet. It's a fact. It's a fact. And that's how God tells us to reckon it. That's how he tells us to impute it. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. The one place in Scripture where you'll find it, you know, you've heard people say it's as though we're righteous or it's as though we died. No, we died. We died. And we are made righteous in Christ. And the only place as though is used is in Colossians chapter 2 when the Apostle Paul said, why, as though living in this world, are you subject to ordinances? Taste not, touch not, handle not. That's the as though. Everything we see going on right here, it's the as though. It's the as if. Colossians 3, he says, because you are dead and your life is in Christ at God's right hand. That's so, brethren. That's so. Reckon ye yourself dead indeed unto sin. The transaction's done. It is finished. He accomplished it. Now, let's see the charge. Let's see the charge. Verse 9. This is some of that fruit that Christ produces. He put life. He married Ruth. He put life in Ruth. He brought forth fruit from Ruth. That's what Christ does in his people. And here's some of that fruit right here. This charge. Look here, verse 9. And Boaz, this is the Redeemer, Boaz, Ruth 4, verse 9, Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day. He's charging them, telling them, you're my witnesses. You're witnesses of this. He said this to the judges, and he said it to all the people. And they answer in verse 11, all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. God bore witness. God our Father bore witness when he raised Christ from the dead. He raised him from the dead, declaring he's satisfied, brethren. And just like these 10 elders, and just like all the people, right now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's borne witness to by the law and the prophets. And that righteousness is by the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what all the law and all the prophets bear witness to. And when you're born of him, that's what you bear witness to. When he's purchased you and he made you to know he purchased you and he's come to you and he's given you life and made you to know he's married to you and he hates putting away, it'll never change. And he creates this fruit in you. All you want to talk about from then on is Christ. You think about Ruth. Yesterday, before this happened, Ruth was a poor beggar with not even a penny to her name. She didn't have anything. And now, because of what Boaz did, everything that belongs to Boaz belongs to Ruth. Who do you think she went around talking about? You think she went around bragging about herself? No, she went around talking about Ruth. And that's what we do. That's why these men here have preached Christ to you. That's why your pastors at home preach Christ to you. And that's why you speak to your family and your friends about Christ. That's all you want to talk about. That's the charge he gives us. You're my witnesses. The scripture says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Let's just talk about his works. That's the works we want to talk about. Amen.